Today's daf in Masechet Kiddushin, brought to you Meretz HaKodesh, is daf Mem, and we got up to the end of the Maaseh with Reb Tzadok, which brought us all the way. No, actually, we got to the end of the Maaseh of Rav Kahana. So we got up to the two dots, and that brings us to four lines down in the big lines on the page. Ramele Ravel Reb Nach. We seem to have a contradiction between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Peah. Because we just read every Shachris, Adam Oysa, Oysa Merichel, Perotayim, Bolamazeh, Fakaren Kayemet, Lololam Abba, Veloin, Kibud Avaim, Gmilut Chasadim, Hava At Shalom, Shepein Adam Lachaviro, the Talmud Torah, Neged Kulam, we don't mention here, the Achmasat Orchim, it's part of Gmilut Chasadim, as Gemara and Shabbos discusses. In any event, it says over here that there's a mocker in the Torah for each one of these things. So there it says, so there's two things here. One is Yarichun Yamecha, and that is talking about in an oilam that is Shayach to Arichas Yomin, which is Baalam Abba. And the Yitavlach is like the Lashon of our Mishnah, Meitivin Lai, Baalam Azet. So I understand why we say that apparently there's also Peiraz Ba'olam Hazeh, B'gmilut Chasadim. It says, Rodev Tzedaka V'chesed, Imtza Chayim Tzedaka V'chavod. So here too, we have Chayim that has ultimate value is Chayim Ba'olam Haba, and then you have Tzedaka V'chavod, those are issues in Olam Hazeh. We have At Shalom Ketiv, Bakei Shalom V'rodfeu. And Rabbi Abo says that we have basically Gzereshava from the words Rodfehu to Rodev Tzedakah V'chesed. So just like by Rodev Tzedakah V'chesed, we found Chayim Tzedakah V'chavod. So here too, it means that there will be Chayim Tzedakah V'chavod, which means that there's Peiros Ba'olam Haba, Ba'olam Hazeh, same issue that we had. So I'm just turning on the recording over here. Should I forget? Okay. And because of that, K'tiv Hacha Bakei Shalom Rodfehu, and Knivatam Rodev Tzedakah V'chesed, and the last thing we has was B'Talmud Torah. It says B'Ferish Ki Yu Chayecha B'Yorech Yamecha. Chayecha always refers to Chayim Ba'olam Hazeh, Re'ei Chayim Im Yishtecha Asher Ahavta. So this is Chayecha in Olam Hazeh, and Erech Yamecha in Olam Shekulo Yorech. Okay, so we have a mocker for these four dinim particularly. Now the question that I have, says Ravah, is first of all, I mean, why don't we list Shiluach HaKein, which is what we were talking about in the sugya earlier. And by Shiluach HaKein, it says also, Laman Yitav Lach Varach Yamim. So then if we don't hold up the Pirish that we said to answer Acher's question, then we understand that the same Lashon of Hatava that we interpreted over here means Hatava Ba'olam Hazeh, and Varach Yamim Lo'olam Haba, where Shaykh to discuss Arichas Yamim. So it's exactly the same thing, right? So then why isn't it in this Mishnah? Litnei Namiha? Answers the Gemara Tana Mashiach. The list is not complete. It's a list where, which we often find, that the Tana writes down certain things that he wanted to write and leaves others out and leaves it up to you to discover the rest. That doesn't make sense. I mean, it says, Tani Tana Elu Devorim. Tana goes out of his way to teach, these are the things, and you just throw out Tana Mashiach without any basis, that's not an answer. I mean, it's certainly on the surface, it's meant to be a full list. Omar Rava, I'll tell you, Rav Edi explained to me why it is that Shiluach HaKein does not apply. It does not appear, anyway, in the Mishnah. Because, look, the makor of the idea of peirot, as opposed to the actual Maisa HaMitzvah, I mean, that's what the Mishnah is referring to over here, right? It understands that wherever we find implications for Olam Hazeh, so then it doesn't really make much sense, does it? How can you talk about, in the same sentence, how can you talk about Sachar in terms of life, which is real, and put it together with toys, as if like they have something to do with each other? I mean, one we're talking about reality, and the other one we're talking about the temporary value of toys. It's the same thing if you would be talking to a child, and you'd be trying to explain to a child that one day he'll grow up and there's real things in life and so on, and he's going to be able to have all of those things, you know, and I'm also going to buy you a toy truck to play with. And I, you know, like, what, you know, they're two separate things. You want to give him a toy truck? Why give him a toy truck? Don't get him confused. about one day he's going to be, you know, a big boy. He's going to have his own shipping company with 100 trucks, you know. That's a silly comparison, but it's the same kind of thing. So it must mean that the getter of the Hatava in Olam Hazeh is not the actual response or sachar for maisim that are real. It's the payrais of that thing. So it's as if you planted something which is growing, or as if you have a fund where there's you invest in the stock market and they give you dividends every once in a while. So these are dividends. These are not the actual ownership of the stock and what how it is that the company is doing and that you're going to be able to sell for much more than you bought. That's not the point here. So that's what the Mishnah in Peah is all about. Peiroteim, there's such a thing as a peirot or kayomi min olam hazeh. But that's based on the pasuk that there is such a concept. So we have imru tzadik kitov, kiprim al aleihem yochelu. So in other words, there are fruits, there are peirot, there are additional dividends from the maisim that a tzadik does, and that he will eat, meaning while he needs to eat in olam hazeh, he can eat them, and the principle is still there for him totally as that's growing. So now Rav Edi, explain to me, be medayik in those words. What does it mean, imru tzadik kitov? I mean, is there such a thing as a tzaddik that isn't? Isn't that the meaning of the word tzaddik? So what do you mean a tzaddik kitov? I mean, there's no alternative if that's part of the definition of the word, is it? V'chiyesh tzaddik tov, v'chiyesh tzaddik she'no tov. So you see that this concept of tov is an added element in which people experience the tzaddik is tov. He's good to them. He's kind to them. He's caring about them. That's the point. So therefore, you can have a tzaddik where it's like nobody wants to be around him. You know, I mean, it's not like he's a problem. He's not doing anything bad. But like his whole focus is, you know, otherworldly, is not doing anything for the Briyas. They don't get any hanah from him. So there's a tzaddik that's tov l'shamayim, v'ra l'briyas. This is ra l'briyas. Doesn't mean he's ra. It means he's not good l'briyas and that he's not. Otherwise, that ra itself would be ra l'shamayim. Obviously, you can't be ra l'briyas literally and still be called a tzaddik. So that is one type of tzaddik. And then you've got a tov l'shamayim v'labriyas. That's called a tzaddik tov. So where do we find prima aseyam yochelu? Only in a tzaddik that is tov. So in other words, if we're dealing with ma'asim that reflect kindness and care and warmth to the briyas, to the people that he's doing these ma'asim, okay, that's kivet aveim, I understand, that's tov l'briyas. And the Hava Shalom is Tevel Briyah, the Talmud Torah, he's Mekayim the Olam, and he's for sure that is the Metzias Tevel Briyah. But Shiluach HaKein, that's not called Tevel Briyah. I mean, we just know that he does mitzvahs, but how do we know that he's a good-hearted person? That we don't know. In which case, how can we be sure just because there's a concept of Hatova, it doesn't mean that we can call it Ochel Peroteim Olam Hazeh? So therefore, it would depend on him. We can't give that as a clause. Now you also find the same lashon in the diuk, actually, at the pasuk of Oyla Rasha Ra, Kigumu Yadav V'Asem. So what exactly does it mean when we talk about a tzaddik tov and a Rasha Ra? This is the next pasuk. So the Rasha Ra, is there such a thing as a Rasha Tov? V'chiyesh Rasha Ra V'yesh Ein Ora. Yes, there is. There's a Rasha who's Ra L'Shamayim. Virala Briyas. That's a Rasha Ra. So this person is a murderer. He's a ganav. He cheats people. I mean, that's a person that is, there's nothing about him that anyone would say was good. But then there's a Rasha that's Tovla Briyas. So Rala Shamayim, but ain't no Rala Briyas. So he's a very kind person, very moral person, and so on and so forth. He's just a total Rasha. So those things. So like Rashi says, what is it? So he eats at McDonald's, you know? So he seduces all the girls. So what is that? It doesn't hurt anybody. That's just very nice, a sweet person. You know? Give everybody love. All you need is love. So fine. That person is useful for the world. But a Rasha Ra, I mean, who needs him around? That's different. Okay. So therefore, the same thing is true over here in the Mishnah. We're talking about the tzaddik who has pre-masav yochelu. That's Imru Letzadik Tov Kipri Malahim. It's Mamar, such a beautiful diag, no? So where do we have HaPeiros, that the person gets Peiros in Olam Hazeh? That's in terms of the Rosh HaTov specifically. There's, by the way, very fascinating thing over here, because Rashi says that the Rosh that is Tov is considered to be Tov LaBriyas, but what is, because he's not hurting the Briyas. He is only eating at McDonald's, and doing all the averis of Arias, I'm just, everybody thought, what do you mean, Arias? Right now, society views that as Rala Brias, right? Oh my gosh, this guy took advantage of us. It's all about taking advantage. The Gemara didn't know about that. The Gemara, and that's between you and God. It's not between you and the Brias. It's a totally different, you know, take a look at the West nowadays, you know, every day. That's the new Kiddush. So-and-so we have to put in jail because he gave jobs to 2,000 girls that he happened to seduce all of them. They went out to seduce him, obviously, to get the job. It was like the whole mice that we had in Reb Tzadok. It's incredible, the hypocrisy and rishis. Okay. But, I mean, it's very Nogea Yom Kippur, as we'll see, this idea. Okay, now, the Brisa says like this. Listen, the second thing in Zichus, that a person does a mitzvah, that has both a principal and dividends. So Yeshlo Keren, Yeshlo Perot. And that's why it says in the pasuk, Imru Tzadik Ki Tov, Ki Pri Ma'alalim. So we understand that that means that there's going to be continuous fruit that comes out from this. You invest in good, and that's great. But an Avera, does that pay out? An Avera Yeshla Keren, Moshe, you're Moshe and Del 3D? Moshe Ruven. Yeah. So Avera Yeshla Keren, but there's no payrot. And whatever it is that the person did, that's the Chiyav that he's at, but not, we say, Oilo Rosh Hara doesn't say at all over there that there should be pre. It says only that the Maisim of his Yadayim will be given to him, right? So how exactly does that Gmul Yadav? What's Gmul Yadav? What about the Peiros? No? Talking about only Gmul Yadav? Ask the Gemara, but it says, the Yochlu mi pri darkam umi moatzoteim yizbau. I don't understand. It says Beferish not like that. It says that actually, if somebody is Ra, so then we, in fact, see it as having Peiros, terrible Peiros, and he's going to be paid back from that Peiros also. So why are you only focusing on this pasuk? That doesn't make any sense. So we should have the same concept when it comes to the Rosha. There's something fishy over here. So we have Beferish, Mimo, Atzotehem, all of their bad ideas and everything that they were trying to do, Ra, they are going to be eating Mipi Darkam. How do you explain that? How can you say that an Avera does not have Peirot? Well, there's differences. There's such a thing as an Avera that has Peirot. If the Avera makes Peirot, then Yeshla Peirot. But if the Avera itself doesn't make Peirot, then Einla Peirot. So if somebody does an Avera, let's say he's Bechaloshim Shemayim, and he goes and eats at McDonald's in public, and other people say, what? This guy is such a chosh of a guy. He eats at McDonald's. I guess it's okay to eat at McDonald's. So then the peirot are everything that comes out of what he did. So they're the peirot are also the Maisei Yadayim, basically. But if the actual Avera doesn't have peirot, so then there's no peirot that comes of the fact of the Avera the way there is in terms of Zechut. Machshava tova. Now, another thing that is interesting, the Braisa said, if somebody has a machshava to do a Maisei Mitzvah, that's called a machshava tova. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzarif that machshava tova to Maisa. And he even gets sachar on the machshava. Because it says, Oz nidburu yirei Adonai yishoreyeo, vayakshev Adonai vayishma, vayikatev sefer zikaron lefanav yirei Adonai l'chosh v'shemo. So therefore you see, l'chosh v'shemo, what does chosh v'shemo mean? People that think about, people were planning on doing a mitzvah, and then something went wrong. I wasn't able to do the mitzvah. It doesn't matter. The machshava itself, machshava ra, but when it comes to somebody who's thinking of doing an avera, and he doesn't do the avera, so then that's not considered to be part of his avenah. If I saw that there's a tzad to do an avera in my heart, lo yishma Hashem. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't hear my thoughts about those kind of things, because those things are viewed as violations of what I really want. So I was thinking about it, but right, I didn't do it. So that's different. So we see that there's taka, no such thing that has a machshava that would be mitzuraf l'maaseh. Now the problem is, it says in the pasuk, "Hinani mevi ela amazera a pri machshavotam." Oh my gosh! So apparently there are parents for machshava alone. And says the Gemara, the same idea: a machshavasha osapri, a kadosh baruch hu mitzarfa l'maaseh. So if the machshava ends up in actually achieving something bad, so then the machshava is viewed as part of the maisa. But if the machshava does not result in anything that was lamaisa bad, in bapri, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tzarfa lamaisa, and therefore there's a fundamental difference between the machshava l'mitzvah. Is that true though? And what about Adichsiv Laman Tfos et Beit Yisrael Bilibam? Says Beferish that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to get them on the thoughts in their heart, which is mashmah that the thought itself is considered to be an Avera. Om Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, that's referring to Averis Kerchovim. Ahu Averis Kerchovim Udichtiv. The Omar Marcha Murah Avodat Kochavim. Avodat Kochavim is more chober than anything else. Shekola Kofer Bakamode Bechola Terekula. Because basically, this idea of utilizing the Kol HaKoferba instead of saying Kol HaYisrael, because the Gemara wants to talk about Loshon Nekiya. For what I want to talk about doing Avodah Zarah, if you don't do Avodah Zarah, it's as if you were made of a Kol HaTorah Kula, which I understand that that means Chas V'Chalila, that Machsheves Avodah Zarah is a pegam, a direct pegam, B'Kol HaTorah Kula. Okay, Ula Amar, Ula says no. I have a different shot. The idea of pre-machshevotam, that there's such a thing as just thinking about something, pre-machshavotam itself is also considered to be nitfas. You don't have to say that it's referring to Avodah Zarah. What it could be referring to is the famous mamar of Ravuna that we've spoken about so many times. The Omer Ravuna, kivan she'avar adam avera v'shanaba, hutralo. Once a person does an avera and does it once again, it then becomes mutter. You're kidding, that's great. Hutralo salka daitach. You know, it's actually mutter. It becomes the equivalent of him to heter. So in other words, if he were thinking about doing that kind of avera, which to him, he eats at McDonald's every day. So today he was thinking of going to McDonald's and he ended up not going. So why do you think he didn't go? He didn't go because of the fact that, oh, he had machshava and he did tshuva and he's not going to go to McDonald's? No, he didn't go to McDonald's because he didn't like what they were offering. You know, the cheeseburger wasn't good, whatever. So because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to give him a break, you know. You would have gone, it's just whatever. You didn't need to go. An onus happened. You couldn't go. I'm talking about not being mitzarif for machshava, where the reason that you weren't mitzarif for machshava was because you didn't want to do the avera. That's something else. Omer Rabbi Abo, Mishum Rabbi Chanina. Noach lo ladam shi'avor avera b'seter, v'al yechalel shem shamayim b'farhesya. Listen, it's much better if you're going to do an avera, don't let people know about it. Because if people know about it, so then it'll be a chilul Hashem. And it says, V'atem beit Yisrael ko amar Hashem, ish gilulav l'chu avodah, go do whatever the hell you want, you know? But if you're not going to, achav im einchem shomim, you've already made up your mind, you're not listening to me, but at least don't do it in public. If you do it in public, et shem kashi lo techalalu, but you also have to be mechalal Hashem. So you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling you, if you're going to do an Avera, be very careful. It shouldn't cause a Chilul Hashem and people shouldn't know about it. In fact, Omer Rabbi Eloi HaZaken, Im Roe Adam Sheyitzrom Et Gaber Alav. A guy sees that he does not really succeed in fighting off his Yetzer Hara. So he feels he's going to end up doing Averas. What should he do? Go to a place where nobody knows him. Yelech L'makom Shein Makirim Oto. And he should dress up like he's a yeshiva bacher. So no one will think that it makes any difference, right? So put on a black suit, yitkaseh shchorim. That way, who's going to pay attention to what he does? He's obviously an idiot. V'yaseh k'mo shelibo chafetz, he should do whatever he wants. But al yechalel shem shamayim b'farhesya. So Rashi elsewhere, Tosfos over here says, if a guy dresses like that, it's going to break his own spirit. If somebody dresses in a black suit, he puts on a black hat, he's constantly in a state of avelus, and he doesn't take his life seriously. By the way, he's dressing. It makes him not view his life as serious. So that will break his yetzer. So at least he won't come to do averus. I mean, it'll break everything else too. So in the end, he won't do the avera. That's the yetzer, not that. And therefore, the meaning of yaseh mashalibo chofetz is do what you really want to do, what in your deep heart you want to do, because in your deepest of hearts, obviously, you only want to do the ratzon Hashem. So therefore, okay, so at least we know now where it comes, that there's an inyan to wear all of these kind of clothing, that you should break your yetzer hara. You shouldn't take yourself seriously. Any? Is this true, that it's better to make sure that you're in secret? Vatanya, didn't we say that kol shelo chas al kvod kono ro'ui lo shelo bala olam? A person who doesn't care about a Kadosh Baruch Hu's covet, it would be better for you not to have ever been born, such a person. What does that mean? So Rabba Omar, that's somebody who stares at the rainbow, because that is considered to be the Kved Hashem, right? Like the Gemara Chagiga says, and that's considered to be the Mar'eh Kved Hashem, that was the things that Yechezkel saw, and so on. So that's not giving covet to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Yosef Omar, no, it's very simple. Somebody does an Avera in secret. Well, how come all of a sudden he's doing the Avera in secret? Because he thinks, well, it's like a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't see me when I'm, you know, all alone. What kind of craziness is that? So obviously, he is basically making a joke out of the presence of the Shekhinah. So in other words, that means it's even a bigger Chilul Hashem. It's a bigger Pegiah in Kvod Shamayim. So if you're going to do an Avera, so at least do it openly, no? No. Obviously, that's not the point. There's no contradiction between Rabbi Yavu and Rabbi Yosef. Lokasha. Rav Yosef was talking about where the person is motzi kayif liyitzri. The person is able not to be chayta. That's not like he's seen already that he just is not successful at this, right? And you say, okay, he's trying very hard. He keeps failing and so on. Okay, that's one thing. So there Rabbi Yaakov was saying, the best thing to do is to go to a place where nobody knows you and not to be mechal Hashem Shammai. But this is talking about where he really could be kayif liyitzri. And nonetheless, he figures, okay, but if I'm all alone, HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't know. Sort of. That's what, subconsciously, that's what he's feeling. You know, somehow he's all alone, so everything's good. So that is really a bigger Chilul Hashem in terms of the Bein Olam Vein Atzmo. That's what it means. This is a fascinating sugya, because there is a very strange riff that says, well, we don't paskin like this, right? Why? Because it says, HaKobi Dei Shamayim Chutz Miyir HaShamayim. Which means that a person can always be kayif liyitzrei. You have free choice, so be kayif liyitzrei. Basically, that's what he's saying, which doesn't make any sense, really, because obviously Rabbi Abo wasn't arguing about that. He was just saying that there's such a thing as reality, his history, a certain reality. So the guy's not been successful. What do you mean? But you have bechira. So apparently the riff holds, even that, you shouldn't even be machshir. If we give a person an opening of saying, lo motzi kayif liyitzrei, so there, how can we paskin a halacha that opens up the door for you not to be kayif liyitzrei? I mean, that's so weird. Why would we do such a thing? So therefore, we don't bring this la halacha. Tainus is the riff. Actually, the Rosh says that what we're talking about over here is not really doing averas. When it's talking about kayif liyitzrei, it's a behavior of a lifestyle that ultimately you know is going to bust you. So the guy likes to go to nightclubs. I mean, he's not going to do anything wrong. He thinks. Right, but then he can't control that. I know mamish people like this. Can't control going to nightclubs. Okay, so if that's the case, they will end up in the end in a terrible situation. So that's what it's referring to. But obviously, we wouldn't be giving you an etza of an actual avera. It's a very interesting shilas that came up in the Middle Ages, where the question was whether the bezdin in town should make sure that all of the local prostitutes go to the mikveh. So they're not nidais, but because all the yeshiva bochur were going to these whorehouses, and there were these Jewish girls, and there were nidais, and so the question was, should Bezdin at least be mitaken so that they have a hechsher of the badats, you know? No. We don't give a hechsher of badats to whorehouses. And therefore, the lashon of the, in the Jewish, haliteu l'rasha v'yamot, pour it down his throat, let him drop dead. Okay, so then that's like the riff says over here, right? We're going to make a halacha, takona, for what a person should do where he feels lo matzi kayif liyitzra. Okay, but on the other hand, halacha still has obviously meaning. Okay, so that's fascinating. So it's not awesome. Another amazing, beautiful halacha. It's not awesome. So we have in Oveis, ein makifin b'chilul Hashem. What does that ein makifin mean? Hakafa means buying on credit, right? So ein makifin means you don't get any credit. There's no credit cards for Chilul Hashem. What exactly does this no credit cards mean? So that's the Gemara we'll discuss in a minute. Echad shogeg v'echad mizid. So what does it mean there's no credit? Omar Marzutra, it means that you don't act like your local makolet. So in other words, so this has a lot of different approaches. So what a simple approach is that when you put something on credit, you could pay up later. But when it comes to Chilul Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have, there's no time. You nenash right away. That's one approach. Another approach is when you put things on a credit, a credit account. So the credit account takes into consideration also returns and various payments that were made and so on. So we'll always give you the final balance will be a balance. But when it comes to Chil Hashem, nothing balances. This stands on its own. That's something that you got to pay up and is not going to take into consideration all of the other wonderful things that you did and so on and so forth. Okay, there's other approaches as well. It's very, very, we'll see in the Gemara. Marbury Ravana Omar, what this means is that in the events that you have a balance, and you are basically, you're in a Beinoni, you're right in the middle. So to speak, when we're looking at, the reason we call it balance is because when we're looking, this is the Aser Simei Truva, it's all about balances, right? When we're looking at the scale, so they appear to be completely balanced. That's the Beinoni. So the Ein Makifin means that in the event that one side of the scale holds Chilul Hashem in it, even if it would be balanced if you would examine exactly, Ein Makifin. Makifin means you don't look up there to see that it's precisely balanced. So the moment that you see, you detect Chilul Hashem in one of those scales, it's already out of balance. That's the point, if it's close. And therefore, Ein Makifin, we don't give him a break. So if that's in that part, Imai Tashkula, Machrat, this is going to tip. This will be the tipping of the scales. Tanraban. Lo olam, what an incredible Erev Yom Kippur Gemara. All these sugyas. Lo olam yira adam atzmai kilu chetzio chayev chetzio zakat. Speaking of balance, so a person should always see himself as being in a state of exact balance. Osam mitzvah achad ashrov shichri atzmo lakav zechut. Ah, he is in such, he's ashrov, remember the way that the Rabbeinu Bach explains ashrov is an overall state of osher, of fulfillment. He was able to change his life for good. And that's why it says, that means just one avera, one chait, is actually enough to push your life over. This is the tipping point. A guy can lose all of these incredible things waiting for him. Rabbi Elazar says, that's not all. You have to look at this in a much broader way. The fisha olam nidona harubo. Look what it boils down to. The entire world, basically, is judged according to rov. And a yochid is judged according to his rov. Now, that means, if he changes himself entirely, then that may balance the entire relationship of the world as a whole. And therefore, if he makes himself a tzaddik, that is an immense difference to the world. And also mitzvacha, asherav shichria et atzmo v'kol ha'olam l'kav zechut, avar avira achat oylo, shichria et atzmo v'kol ha'olam l'kav chova, shenema v'chote achad ya'abe, this is the b'shvil chet yechidi sha'asa, the way that the Mefarshim puts it, every Avera is drilling a hole in the side of a wall that might be the edge of the ship. You don't want to drill a hole through your spaceship. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Omer, afilu tzadik amur kol yamav, a person was a tzadik his whole life, umorad ba'achronan, he turned against HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the end, he loses all of his zkuyot. Ibeid et harishonot. Shnema tzidkat atzadik lo tatzilenu biyom pisho. And the opposite is also true. Afilu rasha gamur kol yamav. And he does tshuva at the very last moment. Hasat teshuva ba'achrona. Ein maskirin lo shuv mirisho. Kadosh Baruch Hu does not remind him in terms of the din. Zechras, remember, that's the yom hazikaron, is the yom hadin. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not maskir any of that rishon. When he turns away from his rishas, he's not going to fall over the things that he did. Now, does this make sense? That because he did an act of merida. Okay, so you want to say that that act of merida is the equivalent of everything that he did in his whole life. I understand that. But why should he lose all of the other things? That I don't understand. Let it be like mechza avonot or mechza zechuyot. Doesn't seem to make sense that it should completely wipe out all of his teva. Hence, is Reish Lakish. It's talking about the Sadr Rambam Paskins. Eino ela bitohe ala rishonot. He basically does teshuvah, so to speak, on everything that he had done good. And he says, as the Rambam puts it, Mahalalti basiyatan. What did I think I was doing? What, I was crazy? I wanted a life of learning Torah, doing mitzvahs. What a waste of a lifetime. I could have had a good time. But that is basically the equivalent of a mirror image of tshuva. So you're defining now the type of life that you relate to. And in that sense, the same way that we saw from the beginning of the sugya, that the idea over here is in about the way that the person acts in his life, that is koveya, there's a big difference between the tzaddik and rasha, that the tzaddik, his vision of life is that it's real, and therefore it's nagei olam haba, and therefore his avenas are only paid back in olam hazeh if possible, and vice versa for the rasha. That's because the individual's definition of his own life is so fundamental, and it's because of that that he's treated as if that's his real life. If the person cannot conceive of life that is meaningful, so then all you can reward him with is toys. Say, okay, but you can give him a meaningful life. You can't give a person a meaningful life if he doesn't have a meaningful life. And the same thing is true vice versa. The bad of his life is also in terms of not his real life. The same thing is true over here. Even at the last moment, a person can define how it is that he relates to his life. And that's why we find, remember, that you're always chasing after Tzidkiyo to hear his last words, right? And to make sure that he could make the hespedim and the tzidkis of him, that he should...
Rebbe means Yoshiyahu.
Who did I say?
Rebbe means Yoshiyahu.
Who did I? I thought that's what I said. Sorry. That's what happens. Yes, I meant Yoshio, if I said somebody else. So his last words is, Kitzadiku Hashem ki piu morisi. That's exactly why that last moment means so much. And therefore, that's the Rambam Paskins. He's talking about Toheh. He's shocked by himself, and he regrets his life. And now we are up to, and Richie, better be careful, because Doc is very close.
Right here. Zog de heilige Mishnah.
Now, we take our parak one step further. So until now, we've been talking about the interrelationship with Eretz HaTeva, relationship to Eretz Yisrael, relationship to Olam Haba, which is called the Eretz HaRishena. And we've been talking about the way that relationships are fundamental to the nature of mitzvahs. We just saw this unbelievably, that the way that a person relates to the world defines the schar of a mitzvah for him, the einish of an avera for him, and defines exactly the status that he has for the entire world, right? Okay, so this idea is so far been fundamental to the parak, but what we forget is one other thing, and this Mishnah introduces it, and that is the concept of derech eretz. Concept of derech eretz does not mean etiquette. Concept of derech eretz means exactly what it says. Being part of a world and being skilled in its ways. And what is the main word that we use for derech eretz? Intercourse. Sexual intercourse is called derech eretz. So you always can be derech eretz, right? So the entire, that means, as the Gemara said earlier, all of the kinyonim that we're talking about are l'tzeir rabia. In that sense, the idea of derech eretz being a modality of how a person leads his entire life as recognizing that his mitzvahs and his avenas and all of the issues are nogea, not simply the act of the mitzvahs. We just interpreted the difference between a rosh hara and a tzaddik tov. Right? It's quite amazing. So we introduced a whole new area that needs to be taken into consideration in the definition of zchus v'chayva. It's amazing. And that means that the relationship to the world, and as usual, this is introduced by the sugya directly before the Mishnah. So as the Mishnah points out, he is the one that is defining the status of kol olam kulay. Therefore, as the Rambam puts it, v'tzadik yisay olam. But that means that it's his integration with life as it is. We're going to see how much, if we're zeicha to meet together every Yom Kippur, we'll see how much this means in terms of Yom Kippur, how central it is, that the extent to which a person is present in the world is fundamental to his relationship to chet and his relationship to mitzvah. So therefore, koshi yeshna, somebody who is involved in mikra, and in Mishnah, and in Derech Eretz, lo b'meirahu chote. So as the Rambam points out, this issue of Mikra and Mishnah, this is all Dover Katan, right? But this Dover Katan is the Teva Agedela that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us for Yishuv HaElam HaZeh. Shocking. So that the idea of the knowledge of Torah and the basics of Torah, before it teaches you about life in the greater sense of understanding Ma'aseh Merkava, to be able to be Isaac in the depth of your own Machshava and so on, it is an incredible gift that is given to be able to live life and to be able to be behold Rachecha Maskil, to be successful. And he knows there are Cherets. So such a person, lo b'meirahu chote. Why? Because this is the three-parted braid. Achuta mishulash, lo b'meira yinatek. When you make a rope that is made out of three strong cords, they call that three-ply, actually. You can actually buy, you can order three-ply, four-ply. A three-ply cord isn't cut very easily. But kol she'eino lo b'mikra v'lo b'mishnah v'lo b'derech eretz, inu mina yishuv. Somebody, this is the Rambam's lashon, yishuv olam hazeh. Somebody who doesn't have any of that, he's basically not part of the world. As the Rambam says, the world's better off without him. There's a hanot to the olam when he departs from the world. It helps the overall sense of what life is about. So these people, it's not just that they're not contributing. He's not part of it at all. And the whole idea, as we've pointed out, the amazing idea of Kiddushin, in terms of the mitzvah that's involved in reproduction, seems to be so much of an added tircha. I mean, to get involved in defining your whole life around reproduction seems insane. I say, you know, just donate some sperm to a sperm bank, have a million kids, and don't get involved with anything. What do you need all of this for? The whole Masechet is essentially based on an idea that is so fundamental that the idea of Kivul Sha'olam is linked to Piri Yavirivya, and that Kivul Sha'olam is itself Re'eh Chayim Imishtecha Asher Ahavta, and so on. It involves you totally. It's not just a massive plot, a trap. Don't do it. It's a trap. It's a trap, but it's the only trap that there is. And that's because it's Eino Min HaYishuv. It's not what it is that's achieved. It's how it is that is achieved. And that's so fundamental to Maseches Kiddushin, that the relationships that are involved in the achievement are fundamental to the achievement. Therefore, the closing of this parak, which is so built around this understanding, is about Derech Eretz itself. Omar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok. You know, lema tzadikim nimshalim ba'olam hazeh. You take a look at tzadikim, they suffer very often in this world. Why would this be? Because they're like an ilan shekula amid b'mokom tayra. You have a tree. The tree is in a beautiful, beautiful, amazing place, clean, full of nourishment. It's got these branches, and these branches are sticking out over this absolute poisonous garbage dump, and it's nofo, it's note l'mokom tuma. The poor tree keeps picking up all of this garbage and effluents and cars that are passing by, and it's killing the tree having these branches over the highway. Cut down the branches, and now you've got a tree that is kuloi eimed b'mokom tayra. It's a very happy tree, a very giving tree. And therefore, the same thing is true over here. Kacha kadosh baruch hu mevi yisurin al tzadikim b'olam hazeh. Kadosh baruch hu cuts off some branches that are in a mokom tuma. Kedeshi yeshua olam haba. You look like your beginnings. Your beginning is kindergarten. Kindergarten is olam hazeh. So your beginnings, you're right, they look very poor. But achritcha is gemaod. The end is very much bigger because the reshitcha is mitzar. And lema reshaim domim olam hazeh. Yilan shekulo made b'makom tuma. Here you've got this tree. It is basically, it's all poisoned with underground effluence. Venofa notel makom paris. Got some branches hanging out into a beautiful area. If you cut off those branches, whew, get them out of here. Kulo imid b'makom tuma. Kacha kadosh baruch hu mashpia lehem tovah l'resha'im b'olam hazeh. Kadosh baruch hu gives them the good in the place of effluence. Kedei l'tordam, and that cuts off those branches from the tree. Kedei l'tordam. Lo risham l'madriga tachtona. They should go to the lowest level of Gehenna. Shenemar yesh derech yashar lifnei ish. There are these ways. These people, they do all types of terrible things, and they get a great life out of it. Steal, rob, manipulate. Fantastic. They're driving around in their Teslas. This is the way to live. Let me tell you, it's God's country. Amazing. But they don't realize that Achrita Darkei Mavet, the end of it, is that he's been working on hell, death. And this whole question, which relates to what we've been talking about, the question of a person's attitude and connection to things, how does it affect the simple world of the person's actions? I mean, isn't that what it's all about? So they raise the issue. What is more important? Is Talmud Gadol or is Maaseh Gadol? So the person has got an opportunity to do all these Maaseh Mitzvahs, and he's got an opportunity, on the other hand, to go and to sit and to learn Torah. What's more chashuv? Na Rabbi Tarfon v'yomar Maaseh Gadol. Ultimately, it's all, you're in this world because it's a world of action. I mean, you could always have Torah and Olam Haba. Na Rabbi Akiva v'yomar, no, but it's Talmud that is the real Gadol. Nanu kulam v'amru, there's really no contradiction. Talmud Gadosha, Talmud may vi lidei ma'aseh. Now, okay, so some of the Rishonim understand this very poorly compared to the way the Rambam explains, which is that you need to know what you're doing in order to do it. So if you don't know what you're doing, you're not going to be able to mekayim. It's a very poor explanation. I mean, they have to explain, okay, so why should we learn Tyrus? And why should we learn Kachim? And we don't have Beis Hamikdash. We spend the whole life learning about Kachim and so on. Okay, so then, so at least, if he has in mind that he should, this is some of the approaches in the Rishonim. So the Rambam says, Talmud is mevili dei ma'aseh b'chol makom. It has nothing to do with what you're learning. It has to do with the way that your entire life is changed to be so sensitive to everything that happens and to every possible opportunity that's given to you. This is like we were learning in the Mesillas Yesharim, the idea of the Torah mevili dei zeirus and so on. It's a completely different idea. It's a change in consciousness. It's a totally different awareness, a different way of relating to things. And therefore, in the end, obviously, this is the greatest thing to be maybe lidei ma'aseh. Tanya Rabbi Yossi, Gadol Talmud. Look, let's take a look at it. When was the Torah given, right? The Torah was given like 1 month after Yetzias Mitzrayim. And when did the Maaseh HaMitzvah start, you know? Maaseh HaMitzvah, we were talking about over here, coming into Eretz Yisrael, all of those mitzvahs, Tluyas Ba'aretz, and so on. Even the first mitzvah that we darshan, remember, that challah, that starts right away because it says it's not ki tavo, it's bevoacha. It's right away. As soon as you come into the land, you're already chayef. Okay, but that is 40 years later. So that meant that you were learning for 40 years before you came to be mekayem the mitzvah, right? And when did you start taking off trumas and maaseres? Only 14 years after that, because you needed the 7 years shekafshu and the 7 years shechilku. Not everybody is made. Fine. And then when did you first keep Shemitah? So that comes out to 54 years. 40 plus 14. 54. Now, when did you get to the first Shemitah? 50 years later, right? That's 7 years later. So that's Shemitah brings you to 61. And when did you get to Yovel? 50 years later after that. That brings you 103. Hey, amen. You've got to have to add. That brings you to 104. 54 and 50 is 104. I don't care how you split it. So why'd you say 103? Me'av arba'av. I'm telling you halacha, that Yovel begins at the beginning. Shemitah focuses on the end, right? That's when it's Mishamit Ksofim. But Yovel is from Yom Kippur of Yovel. That's the Rosh Hashanah of Yovel that frees Avadim and so on and so forth. So therefore, it's really only 103 years after the giving of the Torah. So therefore, anyway, if you allow me now that you've questioned my arithmetic skills, let me continue. So now if you take a look, we're talking about 103 years earlier. The din on a person about not learning is the most dangerous thing for him. The Omer of Amnuna, first thing that a person has got to be answering for, I shouldn't say answering for, because the first thing he has to answer for is nasata v'natata be'emunah, as the Gemara says, right? Were you honest? That's what he answers for. But as far as the din, that's the sheish she'elot shalim oto. So to literally answer, that's the answer. But the first thing that he's chayev for, and that we take action against him, is on not learning Torah. Shenema poter mayim, you let the water out, and imayim elatera. That's reshit madon. That's the beginning of din. The same way that there's a judgment and a punishment for not learning, so too is the schar greater than what you have for any maisa. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Yisrael all of the territory of the nations, inheriting everything that they did through all the years of creation. So that they would be shamer. That shamer is Torah. That shamer is mitzvah. Is limud. Is mishnah. V'torotavian soru, and that they should actually go and they should keep the mitzvahs. That's second to the yishmeru chukav. Then the mishnah said, koshein lo b'mikra v'lo b'mishnah omer Rabbi Yochanan. A person like that, that is not part of the world, is posel eidus. He cannot even testify in court because he has no sense of his own value. That's the amazing Mishnah that we had in Sanhedrin. How are we? It says you're supposed to be ma'ayim ala edim. It's mamish amazing. You're ma'ayim ala edim. You have to terrify the edim that they should not say anything that is not true if you're talking about capital cases. And how do you do that, says the Mishnah? You tell them, loma nivra ha'adam yechidi. Why was humanity created as a single human being? In order, bavur shomar adam, that the entire Bria was created for me. Okay. So how do you think that the Mishnah means to be Ma'ima? Imagine the value of an Adam, and you're going to testify falsely and get him killed? Says Rashi, no, that's not what it means at all. It means that the person who's giving testimony should realize, my God, that's what I am worth? If that's what I'm worth, how can I lie? How can I do something? It's all a matter of self-respect. That's what we said before about wearing these black clothes. You wear these black clothes, you have no self-respect, so you end up not believing in yourself. But the idea over here is believing in yourself. And therefore, a person like this, he doesn't believe in himself, has no self-respect, no limud, no Torah, no derech eretz. Life is meaningless to him. How could a person like that take anything seriously and testify in court about anything? It's like the ultimate. And the Rambam says, it's a chazaka. Rambam Hilchos said, it's a chazaka. This person just goes around doing a virus. So he wouldn't, why would he care about lying? This is an incredible insight. This is how Rashi explains. So he's posuliatus. Tener Rabbanon, somebody walks around eating in the street is like a doggy. The Yesha Omrim, he's posuliatus. Okay, so now the question is, what are we talking about over here? So again, according to Rashi, he has no self-respect. But others learn that it's talking about over here that he grabs things and eats in the street. Or others learn, he goes to the shuk and he tastes a little of these nuts, a little of these nuts, you know, like the old Maisev by the Chet of the Dora Mabel. You know, he doesn't really intend to buy the nuts. He wants to see if your nuts are good. So he goes to every fruit stand, you know, let me try a little bit of that. Let me try a little bit of that. It's like trying the ice cream, you know, the ice cream store after you get 40 different flavors, you know. I don't like any of them. So that's Doma LeKelev. The Kelev's always going around picking up this, picking up that, and so on. Okay, it's a number of different pshatim. But without self-respect, he's posel eidus. In Amar Vida Barovin, Alocha Ki Yesha Omrim, that's how we paskin. He's posel for eidus. Dorash Bar Kapara. There's people that are always angry. Ragzan. What do you think you get out of all of that anger? You put in so much energy into that anger, so much into that resentment. They should all drop dead in there. Oh my God, your whole life is you're talking about how angry you are. You know what you got out of that? You got out stressed. That's all you got. So you invested in a life of giving yourself stress. Okay, would you bank it somewhere? Where are you keeping all of that stress? But you get something out of caring about things. Every good thing that you do, every anger that you relinquished, you have payrays from that, and you're banking it. Then you should be dorana aminan. Somebody like that, make a neder not to be around a person like that, because he can only hurt you. Even being with such a person, sitting with such a person, it cannot help but destroy your mind and your life. Moshavo, sitting with him, is a moshav leitzim. Hadran Allah, Haisha, Niknait. Oh my gosh.
Dead, sorry, Rabbi. A little slow on the draw. Should we funk in now? Or
yeah, we should at least funk on for a second.
Funk on.
We move on now to the dinim of shlichut. Ish mekadesh, which we started really, we talked about. Why does it say ish mekadesh instead of there the isha niknei? Whole discussion that opened up our mesechet. If a man is being mekadesh, he's mekadesh bo ubishlucho. He can utilize an agent to be able to do that. Okay, more to be seen, Bezrat Hashem, and if we have the man of the hour, who is his real hour, the Ishiti, Yom Kippur is coming up. Woo. I hope you're all prepared. You got a major job over there.
Shabbat goes out at 7:12, 12 minutes after 7.
I see. 7:12 is the same as 12 minutes after 7. Wow, okay. So then that means
this we time. Start
Mitzvah Shabbos at, what would you say, 8:15 good? Or should we keep to 8:30? Prefer 8:15? No? 8:15. I'm not getting much response over here. Two people are going to tzaddik Yisrael Elam. They'll define the entire world and all of
the later, the better. The later, the
better. The later, the better. Oh, no, no. Anybody else feel the later, the better? Oh, no, no. Okay. So then let's say 8:15, Bezrat Hashem. Now, I wanted to ask your opinion while I have your attention so we can make plans. What shall we do for Erev Yom Kippur? We could have a shir on Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur is a very busy day. And I think what we've often done is we extend the Daf Yomi into a discussion on Yom Kippur, which because of that is shorter than it would be if it was like a whole shiur and so on, but it's also sweeter in a sense that it focuses on the main issue and it gives also a focus for the rest of the day to think of. And it's not under duress and stress where you barely have time to really incorporate it. So what do you prefer? How many people would be interested in learning after the Daf Yomi and continuing on for half an hour, 45 minutes, whatever it takes? And how many people would like to dedicate time in the middle of the day and to have a separate shir, Erev Yom Kippur? Bad news.
I would say...
Very bad news.
Okay. I would say maybe if it's possible to have it right close to Shkia, like meaning like right when everyone disconnects.
As we're eating.
That's totally crazy. That's when the Siddur Mafsekis is. That's
saying like right before.
Oh, that's a very big mitzvah, my friend. I thought you're into eating. The biggest day of eating, remember. There's only two times in the year where you can eat and be rewarded for eating.
I think he does this on purpose.
Yom Kippur. You can add a kezias of Sukkot also. So no. That would be a terrible time.
He does this deliberately. He takes it to the extreme extent, and then we have to rein it back to something that's a little more.
You believe that it's basically a tactic that he does.
Yes.
So
yes.
I can tell you, his adoptive grandfather, right? Your Wolfson grandfather.
Step-grandfather.
Yes, I meant step-grandfather, yeah. So your step-grandfather did exactly the same thing. So maybe you are actually following in his path. I mean, he used it in business. He would go to an insane position. Where nobody else would have the chutzpah. So like, what are you going to do? Okay, so you're like walking back a little bit, you know, but meanwhile, this is like an incredible chaos. Yes, indeed. Okay. Yes, so we all went to his marriage when he married your grandmother. Okay, fine. Anyway, I think you were there also, Bernardo, no? At that wedding? No, you didn't go to the wedding. Okay.
No, but the next generation married my cousin, so we're related.
Oh, of course. Obviously, it would have to be a part of your neighborhood. I mean, but either it would be at the wedding, it would be the next generation. Okay. All right. So we've determined. Yeah, you may be right, Ishiti. You may be right, but he'll never admit it. Okay, everyone. It's so wonderful being with you again. What can I tell you? It's special doing the Aseres Yemei Teshuva to have the schus of being with such people. Thank you. Good Shabbos, and hopefully we'll see you for the Parshas Hazinu. I hope that you've been posting a little bit. I put the post up there. It's 2 weeks basically already. So get yourselves together. Put up a little post. Let's do some work. Thank you.